Hi, and welcome to the Wise Women at Work podcast. In this podcast, I speak with women professionals from all areas of law, business, and finance who share their stories and insights from their careers. There's always something new to learn. I'm your host, Felicia Garland. I'm a certified financial planner in New Jersey and former practicing attorney. I run a dynamic wealth management practice focused on giving women greater financial confidence and control over their money. With me today is Roseanne DeTorres. Roseanne is a founding partner of DeTorres and DeGeorge, family law attorneys in Flemington and Morristown, New Jersey. Roseanne concentrates her practice in family law cases, including divorce, custody, grandparents' rights, juvenile delinquency, domestic violence, and she is a trained family mediator. Importantly, she is certified by the New Jersey Supreme Court as a matrimonial law attorney. She was named a top 100 family lawyer in the state of New Jersey for 2015 by the American Society of Legal Advocates and was selected to the 2015 New Jersey Super Lawyer list. Roseanne is a member of the Executive Committee of the Family Law Section of the New Jersey State Bar Association and the Hunterdon County, New Jersey Bar Association. She graduated from the Johns Hopkins University and graduated with honor from the University of Maryland School of Law. She is admitted to practice in Maryland, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Hi, Roseanne. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Felicia. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I've always wondered about this. And from the outside looking in, it would seem that family law might be an emotionally challenging area of practice. What made you decide to go into law, and how did you decide to specialize in family law?
You know, I don't have a very good answer for that. It wasn't this lofty goal. I love to read and write, and I was always told by, you know, my siblings, I'm one of seven children, that I was pretty argumentative when I wanted to be. And so it seemed like the right thing to do, you know, when I was a young girl. Mm-hmm. I wanted to move, you know, get away from my family. I hate to say that, but that's kind of what was motivating me. It was a lot of people in my house growing up, and I saw a professional degree as a way of being self-sufficient. And I didn't excel in math or science, and so I thought, well, you know, when I was a young girl, you know, there didn't seem to be as many options as there are today for, you know, for careers. And then I kind of just fell into family law by accident and really liked it and felt that it was suited my personality. And I was very good at counseling people, at helping people move through these very, very difficult processes. I actually started my career in real estate, and then I'm celebrating my 30th year of practice in December of this year.
Well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. I started out in real estate, and then 7 years later, I relocated to New Jersey, back to New Jersey, where I was from. And my friend, I went out on my own. My brother owned a commercial property and gave me rent in his building for free for 1 year. I bought a computer at Staples and printed business cards, and I went door to door for every real estate agency in three counties. And I said, you know, I'll do your real estate closings for, I don't know, $500. And then one of my friends asked me to do her divorce. So I ran down to the bar center in New Brunswick and I bought the books. That was before the internet and before cell phones had just come out. They were real big things in like a little suitcase.
Yes, I remember those days. Yep.
I ran down to the bar center, I bought the books, and it came with a floppy disk with the forms on it. And I did her divorce, and then one thing led to another, and, you know, here I am 30 years later, all we do is family law and divorce, and I'm one of five attorneys in my firm, and, you know, it's been good. It's been a good life, and I enjoy the work.
Well, I know your firm is growing, and 30 years in the practice is wonderful. What is a certified matrimonial attorney, and why is that important to somebody who's going through this divorce process?
A certified matrimonial law attorney is somebody that has passed a test of knowledge, to prove you have the knowledge of an expert in family law. It also means that you've received the recommendation of other lawyers that you've had cases with or against. So other lawyers have to recommend you and fill out paperwork and certify to your skill set. And judges of the court system actually also have to recommend you. And so what it means for the consumer is that you are a specialist, that you know the area of law deeply, and that you have an exclusive, distinctive knowledge of this area of the law. There are only 150 matrimonial law attorneys certified by the New Jersey Supreme Court.
And there's how many?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Out of how many lawyers?
Yeah, 41,000 of us.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is a very special sorority or fraternity that you're a member of.
Yes, I think for the consumer, it really means, this is the lawyer you want to have if you're going through a divorce or you have a family law situation that you need legal advice about, because you can be assured that that person had to go through a lot of vetting to get that distinction, and they know what they're talking about. There's so many people that say they do family law, and you really wouldn't, if it were me, I wouldn't leave my future to chance by hiring a generalist.
You mean someone who does maybe a will today and a divorce tomorrow and real estate closing the next day, and someone who dabbles in a sense.
Exactly.
Well, you're clearly very passionate about what you do. What do you like best about it?
Well, I love managing my firm. As I've grown the firm over the last 7 or 8 years, that has really been my pride and joy, is building a culture. The people that we've assembled on our team they're just phenomenal individuals and so passionate about what they're doing and the services that they render to our clients. That's been my pride and joy. But when it comes to the clients, I really like teaching and educating people about what their rights and responsibilities are, but also helping them to understand what's at stake so that they can make informed, reasonable decisions about a settlement. We settle 99% of all the cases that we take without going to court. So my role in people's lives is really as an advisor and a counselor. And I've got a knack for helping people appreciate the value of closure, so that even though you may be entitled to, A, B, C items or this particular amount of money, you are going to spend money and you're going to spend time and you're going to spend your energy to get those things. And if you could get something that approximates those things and do it cheaper, faster, with less stress, would that be something you'd be willing to consider? And most people say yes. And so we have that has been really the thing that I like the best, is helping people solve their problem.
Well, you also touched on being an educator, and I suspect that's a very important part of what you do, but there must be some part of the work that is the least fun, something you don't like as much. What would that be? You can say.
Well, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I'm grateful to have a support team, and I have other younger lawyers that work with me. And I don't want to do the nitty gritty paperwork. That's something I'm not a fan of anymore. I'm the reviewer. I'm the higher, 20,000 foot evaluator of what we're doing, strategy setting, higher level review of documentation. The paperwork itself is not something I want to be heavily involved in creating anymore. But I'm so grateful to have an amazing team that is good at that. And I paid my dues. I did do that. I did that from time. but you know, that's the job for the younger soul. I'm pretty much the rainmaker, if you will, for the firm. I'm the one that generates, you know, the most files. So I'm mostly out and about, you know, generating leads and working to build a brand and that sort of thing.
Well, working up the food chain is part of any professional practice, I think. It's hard. You can't start out at the top. You have to learn the nuts and bolts and the basics. What's your plan for the firm? Do you have a future that you see for it?
Well,
or what would that future look like?
Well, you know, there's five attorneys now. We opened an office in Morristown in 2016. We want to expand there. Our lease is up in Morristown in May next year. So we're looking, we're already starting to put the wheels in motion to look for bigger space there. We're doing a great job. And we also have our primary office, which is in Hunterdon County. I expect that we will add at least one or two more lawyers. We want to make the lawyers that we have, the younger lawyers, you know, we want them to be partners. So that's part of the future plan. And they are on track to do that. And then our general overarching goal is to help the entire legal staff become business developers. Because I'm not going to be able to retire and get my, you know, what I want out of the business at that particular point in time, if there's no business being generated. So our strategy over the next 5 years is to really work on helping each lawyer build their own brand. And we use marketing dollars to do that. We do it through social media. We do it through coaching, build their own brand so that they have an ability to build a business so that when Roseanne is tired and ready to sort of do less, although I never see myself leaving the firm entirely, I'd certainly, you know, not get any younger, then they're in a position to generate those files. And it's not just up to me. So that's our strategy. And that's where we're, you know, that's where we're heading.
Mm-hmm. Well, haven't you added a practice area or two? I recall that you added estate planning, I think, to make a more holistic package for your clients?
Yes, we did toy with the idea, and I did take some classes. I actually did a postgraduate program through the American Bar Association. But, you know, the fact is, Felicia, no, I didn't like it. I wasn't good at it, mm-hmm. and I didn't like the work. And we have developed strategic partnerships with so many wonderful estate planning and elder law attorneys that we felt like it was almost like a little bit of a conflict, and that we could add value to these people, and we have a symbiotic relationship with these other referral partners. So we stopped doing it, essentially, is the short answer.
So without naming names, what's the toughest case you've had to handle, or one of the toughest?
The toughest cases that seem to occur, the source of the conflict is not the subject matter. It's not what's at stake. It's not the business that the parties own that needs to be valued and distributed. It's not significant executive compensation plans. It's not custody issues. It's the difficulties come because of the personalities. I mean, that's the real truth of it. You know, it's what makes a case hard to settle is the intransigence of one or both of the parties. That is something, you know, you just have to deal with. So that's why we're an advisor. That's why I perceive our work as being an advisor and a counselor. We're not just talking to people about what their rights are. We're talking to them about the value of closure. We're talking to them about, can you move on? Can you give this up to get a deal and get on with the rest of your life? How much of your marital resources, your time and your energy, do you want to devote to this? How much are you willing to spend of those three things? And so the most difficult cases are the ones where the people just lack the ability to see past their hurt and anger and commit to a settlement or to be flexible and reasonable in their demands. You know, the subject matter, we've seen it all. You know, we've had, you know, doctors and big wig executives of major corporations as clients with lots of stuff at stake, tons of money involved. And honestly, the people that have all that tend to be more businesslike about their divorce. The toughest divorces are the ones where somebody's being left behind and doesn't want to be left behind. And they're shocked by the divorce word. When the divorce word is used, they're on their heels.
They're somewhat surprised, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I could tell some horror stories. I did a 14-day trial. You know, I've tried four cases in 20, you know, I've been in New Jersey since 1998 or 1994, so 24 years, and been practicing family law almost the entire time. I tried four cases to completion, started many other trials, settled the trials in the middle of them. And the one trial that I did was, you know, 14 days of trial. It took the judge a year to issue his decision. The parties liquidated and spent every marital asset that they had to finance the litigation. The decision was in my client's favor. The spouse, husband, did not pay as agreed or as the judge ordered. It went up and down to the appellate division multiple times and basically impoverished the entire family, all of them. And so, you know, was it a great victory? Yeah, but a Pyrrhic victory because there was nothing left. And that's where the personalities come in. And my client would have loved to settle, but she was married to a fella that just had a scorched earth mentality and he didn't care. And at the end, he was representing himself. So he didn't have any skin in the game. He wasn't paying a lawyer. He didn't feel the pinch of the legal fees. Mm-hmm. So whatever position he felt like taking. And so, you know, those are horrific cases.
But so that sounds as though your client was a good client, not necessarily a perfect client, but one that you'd like to deal with because she was willing to be educated and brought along. But it's the other party that can make it very difficult.
Exactly.
Was there a case that was especially gratifying?
Well,
I mean, it must all be to some extent when you finally get them settled and the family settled. And
You know, the cases that have given me the greatest sense of satisfaction have been the victims of domestic violence that I've represented and gotten them the protection that they need from their abuser. Those have been the most gratifying cases. When you can really just put into place what the victim needs in order to stay safe, in order for them to stay safe with their children.
Is there a particular aspect of your personality or your background that has led to your success? What do you think has made you as successful as you are?
Well,
besides tenacity.
Well, I was going to say, yeah.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I wasn't always successful. You know, to be honest with you, I practiced law on my own by myself until 2011. It's now 2018. I formed the partnership with Erin DeGeorge in 2011. She was doing per diem work for me for a couple of years before that. But before that, I really was just, you know, kind of not really focusing on my work or my business. I made money by accident. I had clients. I had a very small staff, a small office. Of course, I did whatever I wanted, and that was certainly a luxury, but I didn't have the success and the sort of the financial success that I wanted and really I needed, you know, in order to prepare for my future and my retirement one day. And my daughter was grown at that point in 2011. She was an adult. And was off at college, and I could go home every night and just sit on the couch after dinner, or I could start thinking about what I was going to do for the rest of my life and what kind of legacy I was going to leave behind, and what kind of life would I be living if I wasn't working. And I really liked what I was doing, and I started to focus on my business, and I started taking classes and going to seminars and doing workshops, and I got a coach, and I really just started to bring to bear my, you know, my efforts on building this business. And, you know, yes, I am tenacious, but I'm also a lover of learning, and I'm coachable. I am, you know, organized, so I can set goals and work towards them and break them down. And the culture of my firm that existed here 5 years ago is not the culture of my firm that exists here today. I've really worked hard on getting out of the way and not imposing my personality on everything that happens here, because there's so many talented people besides me that have more knowledge and understanding of what's best for our firm in their area of expertise. So, you know, it's all those things as a combination. You know, there's been so many people too along the way that have helped me, the network that I've built, the Morris County Chamber of Commerce, the organizations that I've belonged to, Women Presidents Organization, the people that I've met there, and all of these things have worked for me. And I guess everybody could say that I'm, you know, I have a persistent personality, but I think it's more than that sometimes, because I'm not indifferent. You know, if I could be persistent and just be ambivalent, but I'm not. And I like what I'm doing, and I love the team that we've created. So it's, I don't feel like I go to work. I like to go to work. I mean, I enjoy being here and driving to work, and I never feel beleaguered by that. So
it's work in a positive and uplifting way. It's not the, I have to go to work.
Yeah, but exactly.
But it sounds as though the catalyst was really you investing in yourself, whether it be with education or a coach or really investing in yourself. That was very important at the big outset.
Exactly. I think that's true.
So putting on your wise woman hat, if you were advising a young woman who might be considering a career in the law, and perhaps family law in particular, what wisdom would you share with her?
If I was talking to a young lady, you know, my daughter is a lawyer and she became an attorney, and that kind of surprised me. I didn't think that she had any interest in the law, and she certainly wasn't the student I was. She didn't have that sort of, I was, you know, definitely the bookish, nerdy kid, always did really great in school. She wasn't like that. She had a kind of a apathetic attitude towards high school and undergrad, and then she did amazing in law school. And I said to her, if you think that college was hard, law school is going to really, really challenge you. And you just can't even, it's hard to explain how it challenges you. But what I said to her was, think of it like a job. You're going to go to school and study for 10 hours a day. And then the other part of the day, you can do whatever you want, but you've got to commit 10 hours a day, at least for the first year. You're going to get breaks. You're going to get a Christmas break and a summer break, whatever. But for the first year, if you can sit in a chair for 10 hours a day and read, because it's just reading, there's mountains, hundreds and hundreds of pages of reading every week. If you can do that for the first year, the second and third year of law school is breeze. And she did. And that's what I would tell any young girl considering the law, that you have to really be willing to sit still for a year. You have to put your life on pause. When all your friends that went to college are out partying, they're going to Hoboken, they're going down the shore, you're not doing that. You're going to be, for 1 year, sitting still. The other thing I would tell young people about the law is, if you can get a job, even just as an unpaid intern working in a law firm before you go to law school, I would do that, because it's not for everybody. You know, the law is, you really gotta like it. It can be dry and tedious sometimes. There's a lot of studying, even now in my line of work, in any field, whether it's family law or even real estate. My daughter works in labor and employment litigation. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of reading. There's a lot of analyzing documents, no matter what area you are in. If you don't like to read and you're not into, you know, critical thinking, then this is not the area for you. You know, this is not for you. So try to spend some time in a law firm and see if what you see going on appeals to you.
So it's not like television where it's all glitz and glamour. There's a lot of hard work. And as you said, there's a lot of grunt work at the outset.
Yes, there is. There really is. And it's and when you start out, that's where you start is, yeah, you've got the degree now, you passed the bar, but, you know, they don't teach you how to be they teach you how to think like a lawyer in law school, but they don't teach you how to be a lawyer in the sense of practicing. It's not as practical as it could be. The practical, that's really what you get from the mentors that you work for, you know, from the other lawyers, is how to take a case and piece it together and how to break it down and how to figure out what's the best solution, how to get a case to evolve towards settlement, how to understand the life cycle of a case and whether it's ripe for settlement or whether you still need to push a little. That just comes with time.
That's wonderful advice. And I think any woman, any young person would appreciate knowing that and knowing that going in.
Yeah.
So what else would you like us to know about you or your practice?
Well, I'd like your listeners to know that we're here to help them with any family law or divorce situation that they may be experiencing. And if they want more information about me or my firm, we just launched our new website. I love it. And I hope you'll take a look and your listeners might take a look. It's www.dndfamilylaw.com or detorisanddegeorge.com. I'm so happy with our new website. It's amazing. And I think it's going to be a really great resources for people out there thinking about divorce or family law issues.
Thank you so much for your time, Roseanne. I really appreciate it. I'm sure the audience got a lot out of this and we'll definitely look at your website, but thanks again.
Felicia, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Have a great day. We look forward to seeing you again on our next Wise Women at Work podcast. Look for us on my website, PrideSburgWealth.com. Bye for now.